All had mild illness. None required oxygen or hospitalization. Research suggests that ivermectin may work through as many as 20 separate mechanisms. Among them, ivermectin functions as an ionophore, facilitating transfer of zinc into the cells, which inhibits viral replication. Ivermectin stops replication of COVID-19, seasonal flu, and many other viruses through this and other mechanisms. For example, a March 2021 study by Choudhury et al. Found that ivermectin was found as a blocker of viral replicase, protease, and human TMPRSS2, which could be the biophysical basis behind its antiviral efficiency. The drug also reduces inflammation via multiple pathways, thereby protecting against organ damage. Ivermectin furthermore impairs the spike protein's ability to attach to the ACE2 receptor on human cell membranes, preventing viral entry. Moreover, the drug prevents blood clots through binding to spike protein and also deters the spike protein from binding to CD147 on red blood cells, which would otherwise trigger clumping. When patients take IVM before exposure, the drug prevents infection, which halts onward transmission and helps protect the entire community. In March 2021, a published study by Peter McCullough and 57 other frontline physicians from multiple countries found that our early ambulatory treatment regimen was associated with estimated 87.6% and 74.9% reductions in hospitalization and death. Many other studies echo Dr. McCullough's results. The average reduction in mortality, based on 18 trials, is 75%, according to a January 2021 meta-analysis presentation to the NIH COVID-19 Treatment Guidelines Panel. A WHO-sponsored meta-review of 11 studies likewise suggests ivermectin can reduce COVID-19 mortality by as much as 83%. On average, used prophylactically, ivermectin prevented 86% of the adverse outcomes. Over all these studies, ivermectin protected 6 of every 7 people who used it to prevent COVID. And of 29 studies of early treatment of COVID using ivermectin, the average benefit was 66%. Graphs and tables reflecting the data discussed here can be found on the ivmmeta.org website. They are part of a much larger website that has compiled all completed, validated studies for each of 27 different treatments for COVID-19. At c19study.com. A January 2021 study in The Lancet found that ivermectin dramatically reduced the intensity and duration of symptoms and viral loading. In March 2020, Dr. Paul Merrick, Chief of Intensive Care Medicine at Eastern Virginia Medical School, began posting treatment guidelines for the care of COVID patients. Dr. Merrick, one of the best-known and well-published professors of intensive care medicine, recruited a team of the most highly respected and most published leading ICU physicians from across the globe to systematically research all possible approaches to this new virus. Soon, his organization, Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, FLCCC, created a website and posted their first treatment protocols in mid-April 2020. By November 2020, the FLCCC doctors felt there was enough evidence to add ivermectin to their protocols. The data show the ability of the drug ivermectin to prevent COVID-19, to keep those with early symptoms from progressing to the hyperinflammatory phase of the disease, and even to help critically ill patients recover. Peer reviewers green-lighted the clinical and scientific rationale for FLCCC's hospital protocols, and the Journal of Intensive Care Medicine published them in mid-December 2020. FLCCC also published on its website a one-page summary, regularly updated, of the clinical trial evidence for ivermectin. In December 2020, FLCCC President and Chief Medical Officer Dr. Pierre Corey, a pulmonary and critical care specialist, testified to the benefits of ivermectin before a number of COVID-19 panels, including the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. In riveting testimony, Corey described 6 studies with a total of over 2,400 patients, all showing near-perfect prevention of transmission of this virus in people exposed to COVID-19. 3 RCTs, randomized control studies, and multiple large case series involving over 3,000 patients showing stunning recovery among hospitalized patients, and 4 large randomized control trials involving 3,000 patients, all showing large and statistically significant reductions in mortality when treated with ivermectin. 2 weeks later, on January 6th, 2021, Dr. Corey spoke to the National Institutes of Health COVID-19 Treatment Guidelines panel. Along with Eminence Gries, Dr. Paul Merrick, and other members of the frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance also presented positive data on ivermectin, as did the WHO's meta-analysis author, Dr. Andrew Hill, who they had invited to present with them. The Financial Times followed with an article citing Hill's research for the WHO at the University of Liverpool. Hill's meta-analysis of 6 ivermectin studies showed a cumulative 75% reduction of risk of death in a subset of moderate to severe COVID-19 patients in whom the drug reduced inflammation and sped up elimination of the virus. Corey testified that IVM could reduce hospitalizations by almost 90% and deaths by almost 75%. Corey is one of a multitude of leading frontline physicians, including McCullough, Florida's Surgeon General Joe Latipo, Professor Paul Merrick, Dr. Joseph Varone, and mRNA vaccine inventor Dr. Robert Malone, and many, many others who believe that early treatment with ivermectin would have avoided 75 to 80% of deaths and saved our country $1 trillion in treasure. COVID resulted in 6 million hospitalizations and 700,000 plus deaths in America, says Dr. Corey. If HCQ and IVM had been widely used instead of systematically suppressed, we could have prevented 75% or at least 500,000 deaths and 80% of hospitalizations, or 4.8 million. We could have spared the states hundreds of billions of dollars. 10 days after the FLCCC presentation on January 14th, the NIH's COVID-19 Treatment Guidelines panel changed its previously negative recommendation to doctors regarding ivermectin to neither for nor against, cracking open the door just a little for physicians to use IVM as a therapeutic option. That is the same neutral recommendation the NIH committee members gave for monoclonal antibody and convalescent plasma treatments, although the hopes were that both of these latter treatments would be effective when used early. Convalescent plasma, a favorite of nearly all academic medical centers in the country, failed miserably to show efficacy in numerous clinical trials, said Dr. Corey, while monoclonal antibodies did prove effective in preventing hospitalization. NIH's neutral January 14, 2021 non-recommendation, issued in the face of strong evidence of ivermectin's safety and efficacy for COVID-19, was the first obvious signal of the agency's determination to suppress IVM. NIH claimed that there was insufficient evidence to recommend either for or against the use of ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19. NIH shrouded its process for reaching that non-recommendation in secrecy, refusing to disclose the panel members who took part in the ivermectin deliberations and redacting their names from the documents that various Freedom of Information Act requests compelled the agency to produce. For a time, only Dr. Fauci, Francis Collins, and the panelists themselves knew their identities. NIH took extreme measures to keep the names secret, fighting all the way into federal court to shield the proceedings from transparency. As Collins and Dr. Fauci maneuvered to shade the process from sunlight, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, in response to a separate FOIA request, disclosed the group's 9 members. 3 members of the working group, Adora Adimora, Roger Bedimo, and David V. Glidden, had disclosed financial relationships with Merck. A 4th member of the NIH Guidelines Committee, Susanna Nagy, received a $155 million grant to conduct further studies of ivermectin following the NIH non-recommendation. NIAID's windfall payoff to Nagy would have been unlikely to go forward if the committee voted to approve IVM. Today, as Dr. Fauci moves the U.S. to eliminate all use of ivermectin, other countries are using more of it. In February 2021, the head of the Tokyo Metropolitan Medical Association held a press conference to call for adding ivermectin to its outpatient treatment protocol. Several Indian states had added ivermectin to their list of essential medicines to fight COVID-19. Indonesia's government not only authorized the use of the drug, but also created a website showing its real-time availability. After giving out 3rd booster doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, but still seeing high rates of COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths, Israel started using ivermectin officially in September 2021, with the health insurance companies distributing ivermectin to high-risk citizens. El Salvador distributes IVM for free to all of its citizens. Nations whose residents have easy access to ivermectin invariably see immediate and dramatic declines in COVID deaths. Hospitals in Indonesia started using ivermectin on July 22, 2021. By the first week of August, cases and deaths were plummeting. A December 2020 study showed that African and Asian countries that widely used ivermectin to treat and prevent various parasitic diseases enjoy some of the world's lowest reported COVID case and mortality rates. After controlling for confounding factors, including the Human Development Index, HDI, the 11 African nations with membership in the African Program for Onchocerciasis, aka river blindness, for which ivermectin is standard of care, APOC show 28% lower mortality than non-APOC African countries, and an 8% lower rate of COVID-19 infection. On April 20, 2021, India's medical societies added ivermectin to the national protocol. According to Indian and international news, an aggressive campaign by the government of the Indian state of New Delhi, where COVID was raging, showed stunning success. The Desert Review reported that in April 2021, New Delhi was experiencing a COVID epidemic crisis. The state government obliterated 97% of Delhi cases by distributing ivermectin. IVM crushed COVID in New Delhi, wrote Dr. Justice R. Hope, MD. Following IVM's introduction, according to Trial Site News, cases dropped dramatically. At the national level, the massive surge that overtook the country at the beginning of April slowed exponentially after the new COVID-19 protocol was introduced, which includes the use of ivermectin and budesonide. India showed that early combination therapy, budesonide, ivermectin, doxycycline, and zinc, costing between $2 and $5, made COVID symptoms disappear within 3 to 5 days. By January 2021, a country of more than 1.3 billion people and a vaccine uptake of almost 7.6% nationally had witnessed only 150,000 COVID deaths. By comparison, the U.S., with a population of 331 million, had recorded 357,000 deaths. Many Indian officials and doctors consider ivermectin a miracle drug for controlling the outbreak. A natural experiment involving two Indian states, Uttar Pradesh and Tamil Nadu, with opposite COVID strategies helped cement that impression. With 241 million people, Uttar Pradesh has the equivalent of two-thirds of the United States population. According to the Indian Express, Uttar Pradesh was the first state in the country to introduce large-scale prophylactic and therapeutic use of ivermectin. In May through June 2020, a team at Agra, Uttar Pradesh's fourth-largest city, led by Dr. Anshul Parikh, administered ivermectin to all RRT team members in the district on an experimental basis. None of them developed COVID-19, despite being in daily contact with patients who had tested positive for the virus. Uttar Pradesh State Surveillance Officer Viksendu Agrawal added that, based on the findings from Agra, the state government sanctioned the use of ivermectin as a prophylactic for all the contacts of COVID patients and began administering doses to infected persons. By September, the Uttar Pradesh government announced that the state's 33 districts are virtually devoid of active cases, despite having a vaccination rate of only 5.8%. The Hindustan Times reported, overall, the state has a total of 199 active cases, while the positivity rate came down to less than 0.01%. The recovery rate, meanwhile, has improved to 98.7%. When America's vaccination rate was at 54%, cases were still rising and governments were still imposing draconian restrictions. As of August 10, 2021, the United States saw 161,990 new cases and 1,049 new deaths. Uttar Pradesh, in contrast, saw only 19 new cases and one death, more than 1,000 times lower than the U.S. Dr. Agrawal attributes the timely introduction of ivermectin to ending the first COVID wave. Despite being the state with the largest population base and a high population density, we have maintained a relatively low positivity rate and cases per million of population. According to TrialSite News, despite the Indian government's success in using ivermectin and budesonide, the media hasn't shown interest in sharing this news. Instead, the comments continue to promote remdesivir as an effective drug, and the few media outlets that do refer to ivermectin call it an unproven medicine or an outdated treatment. It is as if there are two different treatment realities, one on the ground and one in the local health systems. Millions of patients are now receiving ivermectin, yet one would never know by the media topics. Meanwhile, the Indian state of Tamil Nadu continued using Anthony Fauci's protocol of administering remdesivir, outlawing ivermectin, and discouraging early treatment. According to the Indian Times, Tamil Nadu continues to experience cases and fatalities that perfectly match the U.S. catastrophe. The massive and overwhelming evidence in favor of ivermectin includes scientist Dr. Tess Lawry's highly regarded, peer-reviewed meta-analysis. Dr. Lawry assessed 15 trials, finding a cumulative benefit of IVM in reducing deaths of 62%. Although the data quality of the ivermectin for prevention studies was less strong, they showed that ivermectin prophylaxis reduced COVID infections by 86%. Dr. Lawrie, a world-renowned data researcher and scientific consultant, is an iconic eminence among global public health scientists and agencies. The Desert Review has deemed her the conscience of medicine because of her reputation for competence, precision, and integrity. Lawrie's consulting group, the Evidence-Based Medicine Consultancy Limited, performs the scientific reviews that develop and support guidelines for global public health agencies, including the WHO and European governments, as well as international scientific and health consortia like the Cochrane Collaboration. Her clients have included a retinue of virtually all the larger government regulators now involved in the suppression of IVM and other repurposed drugs. At the end of December 2000, Dr. Lawrie happened on a YouTube video of Pierre Corey's Senate testimony on ivermectin. Her interest peaked. Dr. Lawrie conducted a pragmatic, rapid review between Christmas and New Year's to validate the 27 studies from the medical literature that Corey cited, assessing each of them for quality and power. After a week, I realized it was a go. IVM's safety was well established as a widely used dewormer, she told me. I was startled by the magnitude of its benefits. Its efficacy against COVID was consistently clear in multiple studies. I thought that all these people were dying, and this was a moral obligation. This drug should have been rolled out. Dr. Lawrie dispatched an urgent letter to British Health Minister Matt Hancock on January 4th, with her rapid review attached. She never heard back from Hancock. But in a suspicious coincidence, someone leaked a meta-review by WHO researcher Andrew Hill to the Daily Mail. 3 days later, Hill posted a preprint of his study. In the 1 month since he testified enthusiastically beside Dr. Corey in favor of ivermectin before the January 13th NIH panel, Hill had made a neck-wrenching volte-face. Cumulatively, the 7 studies in Hill's original meta-review still showed a dramatic reduction in hospitalizations and deaths among patients receiving IV.